Okay, is that better? Okay. Yeah, I thought they were easy. You know. Thank you. Like what? She's like, no, it's not going to be hard. No, it's not going to be hard. One of the things I try to do when I do the exams is to emphasize those things that I think are important for you to know and to remember. That's the only thing that I'm trying to do. And a lot of times it's the things that I emphasize here in class. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We honor you, Lord God, and how we love you, Lord God. We appreciate all of your goodness. We appreciate all your love. Lord God, we appreciate all that you're saying to us, Lord God, not only in this class on prayer, but in all the classes, Lord God, in this school. We thank you, Lord God, that our lives are being enhanced and we will never be the same. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I think the last time we met, we began chapter 7. And the author is beginning to introduce us to the kinds of prayer. Now, different books are going to have different, I guess, kinds of prayer. He gives us 12. And what he's saying is that a lot of Christians have a difficult time praying for long periods of time. You know, like we say, pray for an hour. Well, I guess he's putting forth that if you pray these 12 kinds of prayer for five minutes, then you will have prayed for an hour. You know, that's what he's saying. Amen. Okay. So what we're going to do, we're just going to be looking at the kinds of prayer that the author has introduced us to. But before we begin, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians, and I'm going to have you looking at some scriptures tonight. Ephesians chapter 6. And let's look at verse 18. And it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There are some translations that when it says all prayer, it says all manner of prayer, all kinds of prayer. Amen. So the author starts with the prayer, and I think when we were here, we went over all 12. Y'all remember that? I gave you all 12. Okay. He starts with the prayer of praise and worship. Now, I don't know if you were like me, but for a long time, I thought you had praise and worship and you had prayer. But, you know, praise and worship is a prayer. Amen. So that was good for me to find out. It's like, okay, no, it's not just praise and worship, but it's also a prayer. And one of the things that's happening here, you know, for those members of Word of Life Christian Center, our praise and worship is changing, and it is changing so much. And it's like, you know, sometimes we're just in awe at what's happening. But because our praise and worship has intensified, and we're gonna. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but there is a portion that the author says that when we praise and when we worship, we are like inviting God to join us, you know. And so because we're intensifying, then God is just able to just step right on in, and you know. And the services have just been, so many young people say off the hook, you know. Off the hook. Is that, did I use that right? Okay. All right. I think we looked at, he says, praise and worship. This is the kind of prayer used to worship God for what he is, and I put who he is, and for what he does. I don't want to go over all of this. It says, what is praise? Praise means to honor, to glorify, admire, and celebrate God's goodness and wonderful works. Remember that. Amen. You know, that's his definition of what praise is. The more you exalt and magnify God through praise, the happier you'll be, and your understanding of him will intensify and deepen. Amen. He says you'll be overwhelmed to such an extreme that you will begin to boast and brag about your God. Your praise will make you noisy, loud, and outspoken. You will begin to express what he is and who he is. It will seem as if you have lost your mind for an instant. You'll begin to resemble a person who's outside of yourself. If you had too much to drink and simply lost all self-control. Do you remember over in Acts, and I think I heard Pastor Walker a few minutes ago talking about the day of Pentecost. But in the book of Acts, you know, it talks about when they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. You know, there were people around who thought they were drunk. You know, they were just acting. They were loud. They were noisy. They were outspoken. And then these people began to say, "We are hearing these people speaking our language. You know, this is not their native language, but they're speaking our language, and we can understand them." And then, you know, Peter stands up and he tells them. He said, "No, they are not drunk, as you suppose." Amen. You know, so even at that first infilling, they began to they were magnifying God in the spirit, magnifying, praising God in the spirit, and people thought that they were drunk. We're not going to look at it tonight, but we did look at David and David's dance, and I think that was where we ended the last time we met, and that was over in 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. And it says, praise me. Okay, this was a dictionary definition that the author gave us, a Merriam-Webster dictionary. He says, praise means to express a favorable judgment of or to glorify God, especially by attribution of perfections, to express praise, to give God the honor and the glory through which you express your admiration. Praise changes the priority in your lives. When you begin to praise God, you are no longer the priority. God becomes your priority. Amen? He says, praise changes the priority in your lives from yourself to God. Praise is a conscious decision. It's an act of your will. Let's look at Hebrews 13. We're going to be looking at some scripture, but I did tell y'all that already. Hebrews 13. We're talking about the kinds of prayer, and we're beginning with the prayer of praise and worship. In Hebrews chapter 13, let's look at verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. A sacrifice of praise is the kind of praise you give to God out of your obedience. You know, I'm being obedient. I'm going to praise you regardless of how you feel. It's not based on, you know, if I'm happy, if everything is going well with me. It's just an act of obedience. I am going to praise God. Now, the author gives us a Greek word. This one I don't think you're going to have to remember. Amen. T-H-U-O. And he says that's the Greek word for sacrifice. And that sacrifice, in the Greek, it means to kill or assassinate with purpose. Kill or assassinate with purpose. When you offer a sacrifice of praise to God, what you're really doing, you're killing your pride, your selfishness, your self-righteousness, your laziness, your tiredness, and the desires of the flesh. You know, we're talking about when you're praising God, when you especially don't feel like it. You know, I was sharing, I was in the ladies' room, and I was telling you, well, how? I said, I'm okay. I said, but this time, you know, I'm complaining about the time. But it doesn't matter about how my body feels. I am going to offer unto God the sacrifice of praise that is due to him. Amen. Why? We got a lot to praise him for. We still here. Hallelujah. We are still here. And that is a reason to praise him. And we are born again. Amen. We are saved. Glory to God. And that's a lot right there, just to praise God for. But I mean, just to remember that when we offer the sacrifice of praise, you know, it's all about God. Our focus is on him. And it's at that time that we're getting rid of all of our pride. We're getting rid of all of our selfishness and our self-righteousness, our laziness and our tiredness and the desires of our flesh. And we are focusing on him. You know, we say, Lord, we praise you. We honor you. We thank you. We're remembering his goodness. Amen. His love for us, not our love for him, his love for us, his grace, his mercy, all the times that we messed up. And even in our mess ups, you know, he still loved us. He still provided for us. He still protected us. And we just lift our hands and we just want to praise him. Amen. The author says, what should you do when you don't have the desire to praise and worship God? You begin to offer your sacrifice of praise. Kill everything that's holding you back from adoring him. You know, the tiredness. You know, whatever it is, the pride, the shame, you know, and that's what we always say. I'm not loud. You know, I like to just praise God to myself. I'm quiet. You know, no. You want to praise God, because further up we did talk about being loud and noisy and being outspoken. So it's no such thing as, they used to say, what, praise silently? Yeah. Can you imagine praising God silently? You cannot praise God silently. So just forget about that. Don't let nobody tell you that. You know, we're not gonna praise him silently. We got to give utterance. We got to give utterance to what we believe and what we think and how we want to honor our God. He says, when should you praise God? God is worthy of our praise and our worship all the time. All the time. Begin your prayer praising God for the things that he's done. And we talked about that on last week. You know, our author says that we begin and we end with prayer of praise and worship. Praise is the way we make room for God in our lives. You know, we got to, it's a conscious, it's an on purpose. And when you start praising God, you're making room for him to come into your life. Let's look at Psalms 34. Psalms 34. And verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And that word continually is so important. Not just one time. Amen. Not just on Sunday when you come to church. Not just on Wednesday or Tuesday when you go to Bible study or training in the word. That praise should be in our mouths continually. At home. Sometimes we have to add on a job. I gotta go get a sneak us a little. On the job. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for this job, Lord, you know. In spite of. I mean, yeah, you got to do that. You know, I find myself doing that more and more here lately. You know, when you got it on your mind, like, it's time to go, it's time to go, it's time to go. And so, you know, I'm still there. But amen, I have to thank him and praise him all the time. You do not need a special reason to praise him. Praise him for who he is. You are God. You are good. You are great. You are mighty. You are so loving, Lord God. But now, this is important. Our author says, your griping and your complaining destroys the atmosphere created by praise. If you're going to take time and praise God, don't mess up your praise by then turning around and complaining. And, you know, just complaining and then just griping. That's the other thing that our apostle has been teaching us and sharing with us. And that's one of the things that we pray about before every service. And that is to create an atmosphere. Amen. You know, so that God can move among us. Because atmosphere is so important. God has to feel that he is welcome. Amen. He's got to feel welcome. And how do you do that? You create that with that atmosphere of praise and worship. But then if you turn right around and start griping and complaining, there it goes. It's gone. It's gone. The author gives us some biblical ways on how to praise God. Now, strangely, he starts with singing. I would have thought, you know, we all know lifting our hands. You know, we all know lifting our hand, but then he put raising your hands way down at the bottom almost of his little list. So I'm going to start with singing. Amen. I'll start with singing. That's what he started with. We'll start with singing. And he says this is the most common way to praise God. Over in Psalms 30, and I'll just read it, verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. That's singing. And then over in Ephesians 5 and 19, now this one I think we're all familiar with. Let's see. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Speaking to yourselves, I read it out the King James because the author uses a different translation. And I know most people have King James. Few of us may have New King James or something else, but I like to read it from the King James. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Has anybody ever done that? During praise and worship, you just get you a little song. Not a little song that anybody wrote. Amen. It's a little song that you just coming from your heart. We have a lady, one of our prayer leaders. You know, that's, you know, half of her time, you know, is English and in the spirit, and she sings. She just sings. She just sings. You know, a lot. She sings in the spirit and she sings in the understanding. But believe it or not, that singing, you know, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I pray. You know, just have you ever just walked through the house and just doing that, just praising God, you know? I mean, and God loves that. He just loved that. And good thing, he doesn't care how we sound. You know, we are more concerned about how we sound. But he's not. He's not. It's just that, remember, it's your obedience. It's your sacrifice of praise and worship to him. Now, this other one, the author gives us, he says, another way of how to praise God. He said, now, I said, biblical. These are ways that are found in the Bible. Shouting. And he gives us a Hebrew word, R-A-N-A-N. You don't have to worry about that one. Which means to shout and sing with power. To shout is to let out a gust of wind from your mouth. And if possible, the force of that wind should break stones in half, to rupture the ears with a powerful sound. And the only thing that came to my mind when I was reading this, do you remember Joshua at Jericho? Y'all remember that? Over in Joshua, you don't have to turn. I'll turn. But it's Joshua chapter 6. And verse 16, and it says, and it came to pass at the, and it came to pass at the seventh time when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And then you go down to the 20th verse. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout, the wall fell down flat. Amen. So, I mean, that goes with what the author was talking about, that Hebrew word, renan, when it was saying, you know, shout as if, you know, like with a forceful wind that can rupture the ears and that can break a stone. I mean, look at that. Now, we know the hand of God was there to cause that wall to come down. But the whole point is they were shouting. And I wonder what they were shouting. Amen. Amen. Think about that. It wasn't just, they had to be saying something about the God that they serve. He is great and he is mighty. And it's so, I mean, just so loud that the walls just fell down. Amen. But they were being obedient. They were being obedient. Amen. Glory to God. And then another one is laughing. And the author gave us Job 8:21. And we've heard people laugh in the spirit, and it's praise, and it's praising God. You know, you don't stop and think about that. You know, sometimes people think, oh well, what they doing? They just out of order. They're just out of order. No, not necessarily so. It may be, but you can tell. You have a spirit. You have a spirit, and you know when people are laughing in the spirit and when they're out of order. In Job 8:21, till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. When you experience this form of praise and begin to laugh, sometimes uncontrollably, people around you will think that what is happening is weird. This too is another way to praise God. Now that happens sometimes in our prayer meeting. You know, in our corporate prayer. We have corporate prayer on Monday evenings. And there are times, I mean, you just start, you know, just laughing. And you don't really know why you're laughing. Amen. But remember now, we're praying mysteries when we're praying in tongues, when we're praying in other tongues, we're praying mysteries. And God is saying something that your spirit man on the inside has picked up and understands, and it's just like rejoicing. It's a laughing. It's a rejoicing laughter that is going on, and it's giving praise and honor to God. And then we have Thanksgiving. You know, I don't need to tell you too much about that. The author gives us the reference, 1 Chronicles 23 and 30. Let's see. Normally I have these written. 1 Chronicles 23 and 20. 23 and 30, I'm sorry. And to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. So you don't just thank him and praise him in the morning. You thank him and praise him in the evening too, all the time. Now, he did something else here. He did bowing down and kneeling down, biblical ways to praise God. Now, he describes the bowing down. He says, this is when you get on your knees and bend over as a sign of humbleness before God. This is an act of respect and reverence. Okay? Respect and reverence. The kneeling, and it's found in Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Kneeling down before your God is an act of humbleness and honor to him. This is where you recognize that he is God and that you are his child. Amen. And we can all share with you that in one of the prayer meetings, Apostle came in and he said that kneeling to pray, that we seem to be getting away from it. And so now, those of you who've been here, you know, for some of the conferences and the meetings in the house of prayer, we have cushions on the floor for those people who want to kneel. Amen. Because this is a biblical way to praise God. It's nothing wrong with standing, nothing wrong with walking. But every now and then you want to kneel. Amen. Amen. And then applauding, you know. Clapping is praise. It demonstrates your appreciation for God. This form of praise expresses his greatness when words are not sufficient. Amen. And then the scripture reference is Psalms 47 and 1. The dancing. Over in Luke 10:21, this is according to the author, it says, and it was talking about Jesus, rejoiced in the spirit. In the Greek, this dancing, it means to jump for joy. In Hebrew, it means to turn many times in the air while under the influence of a violent emotion. To rejoice means to spin or rotate in the air. We're sometimes motivated, but don't, because we are ashamed. Amen. Yeah, I mean, I can tell you about that. Well, you know, I just had this unction. It's like to spin around. Just spin around and say, I'm not going to do that. They're going to really think I've lost my mind. You know, I'm not going to do that. So, I mean, you know, the next day or so like that, I got in a corner and I just, you know, going round and round, round myself, you know, like to praise God. But, you know, to dance. Well, we saw David. I mean, David is our example for this lesson on prayer in the dancing. And he just didn't care. I mean, he danced. I mean, all his clothes were just flying all over the place. And the wife said, you know, you just so embarrassing. That's what we read the last time we looked at this. Amen. And then your author gets to the raising of the hands. Psalm 63 and 4. I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. That's one of the biblical ways to praise God. Another one is talking and singing in tongues. And we just talked about the singing in tongues a few minutes ago. But just, you know, sometimes you just, you know, saying, Lord, you are great. Lord, you are so good. Lord, I want to thank you. Some of our prayer leaders will do that, you know, while we're leading prayer and just words. You know, it's all about you. You know, we're just so thankful. And you're going to find yourselves. You're going to find yourselves. Internet students, you're going to find yourselves. You know, when you're praising God, when you're in that prayer of praise and worship, you know, words are going to begin to come up. And you're going to begin to start speaking some of these things out. But it's all in praise and worship to God. And then worshiping him with music and instruments. Over in Psalm 150, everybody's usually pretty familiar with that one. And it talks about the harps and talk about all the different instruments that you're gonna praise God with. I'll read that one. Psalm 150, and it's kind of short. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with string instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. So every now and then, you know, our musicians, you know, in our churches, I'm pretty sure y'all have heard that, you know, they'll just start playing. they'll just start playing, and every now and then, you know, we'll hear a trumpet. You know, he's blowing the trumpet. And then I think the guitar, you know, we'll hear them. And they're just doing that little solos. But it's all in praise and honor to God. And you know, God takes pleasure in that. Amen? Amen. Why should you praise him? Because praise invites God. Remember, I told you that at the beginning. Praise invites God into your surroundings. It invites God to take control of your day, making it pleasurable, especially when you take the time to praise God in the morning. God is worthy of all praise. Amen? Amen. He is worthy of all praise. In Revelations chapter 5, verse 12. Okay. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, yes, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Amen? Amen. He's worthy. He's worthy to receive it. Now, one of the things, I'll just a little sideline here. Apostle shared with us, you know, from this scripture that, you know, Jesus received this, but he received it for us. Amen. You know, he received, let's look at it. He received power for us. He received riches for us. He received wisdom for us, strength for us, and honor and glory. Amen. For us. As he did it just for us. Glory to God. Then he goes on talking about our author, and he gives us principles concerning praise and worship. Now, it's a lot of these, but we're gonna start them. I don't know if we'll be able to finish them. He says, God does not need your praise. If God needed your praise before he could act, then he would be limited by it. Meaning that if we don't praise, then he won't be able to do anything. You know, if God depended on our praise. You know, now he can act, he can move independent of our praise, whether we praise him or not. He can still move. But then when we take the time to praise him, remember, we are inviting him into our surroundings, and it makes it so much more easier for him to do something for us. Amen? Amen. For us. He can do whatever he wants to do, but it just makes it just more, I guess, delightful for him. They're praising me. They're worshiping me. They're honoring me. Praise does not change God. See, whether you praise him or not, it's not going to change God. Praise changes and affects your life. Remember, we talked about the pride. Remember, we talked about the selfishness and the self-righteousness, that the focus is no longer on us, but it's on God. So we're beginning to change. You know, we're beginning to take our minds off of us and keeping our minds on him. You can see how that can begin to change you. Praise attracts God to your surroundings in such a way that you will feel confident and able to overcome any adverse situation. When you praise God, now look, I'm gonna look at the benefit of praise and worship for you. Praise changes every impossible situation into victories. Amen. And look at here, praise based on faith. Apostle just taught us about that, huh? Amen. Based on faith, gives thanks to God for the things. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. That he plans to do before he does them. Amen. You know, and I've forgotten where it is. If somebody here knows, you can just let me know. But it talks about, and Jesus knew what he was going to do. And I think that was, you know, he told him to go out and maybe find some food for the people. And he did it just to prove them. Remember the Bible tell that? It said just to prove them. Because he already knew what he was going to do. And it's the same way in our situations. I mean, God already knows what he's going to do. He already has the answer. So this is why we can praise him and worship him and thank him, you know, as the author is saying, you know, praise based on faith, give thanks to God for the things that he plans to do before he does them. You know, Lord, I thank you. Thank you for my healing. Why? Because we learned even tonight, healing is a fact. Amen. And the facts of God will, I mean, no, a truth. It's truth. I'm sorry. Truth. Truth will change any fact. Amen. You know, I like that scripture over in Isaiah. Talks about whose report will you believe? Those reports are facts, but they are not the truth. Amen. So we always stand on the truth of God's word. And when we are praising and worshiping God, we're praising and worshiping him for what he plans to do. And we know what he plans to do is already in his word. Amen. You should begin and end each prayer, and we've talked about that, with praise and worship. These are principles that he's given us. To praise is to seek God. Oh, yeah, he's given us a difference between praise and worship here. Okay, he's saying to praise is to seek God, and to worship is to be found by him. Isn't that something? Amen. The goal of praise is to create an atmosphere. There we go with that word atmosphere again. That enables God's presence to descend upon us. Praise is initiated by you. This is a principle. Amen. It's a principle. Worship is the answer that God gives in response to your praise. Amen. You're beginning to praise him. And see, that's the other. Remember now, praise and worship is a prayer. And you're praying, you're praising, you're worshiping. And then God comes, amen, into your surroundings. And then he begins to answer you, amen. You're praising, you're worshiping, he's answering. And that's where the worship part is. Worship is the answer that God gives in response to your praise. And, you know, we gotta learn how to take the time, you know, even in praying in the Spirit. Sometimes we just praying. We never pause. We never pause to hear, you know, what it is that God wants to say. Begin to train yourselves to just pause, you know. Just say, okay, Lord, what you want to say. Reverend Gotro, you know, taught us that one time, you know, and he was saying, just pause. You know, I think he was over the prayer leaders, and he was teaching us that, just so you could hear. You don't know what he want to say. You know, don't just keep praying. And a lot of times he's saying things and, you know, we're still praying and Aaron, you know, he'll try to get just a little bit louder, you know, just to let you know, look, I'm talking to you. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? And it's okay to just slow it down. Just, I'm going to use the word be still. Just be still. Be still for a few moments and let him talk to you. Let him tell you. Let him reveal the mysteries to you. Hey, remember, that's what we're doing. You know, we're praying. He said, call unto me, and I will answer you. Amen? And show you things that you do not know. And we are praying over in 1 Corinthians 14. It talks about we're praying mysteries. When we pray in an unknown tongue, we're speaking mysteries to God. And when we speak the mysteries, then he'll begin to reveal to us sometimes what it is that we're praying about. Amen. And give us the answer. Now, one of the things that I am learning, sometimes it's not always just for me. It's not always about me, and it's not always for me. You know, sometimes, and this is good for you to grasp, internet students also, that sometimes God is going to reveal things to you for somebody else. And you've got to be open, and you got to be bold. That when he gives you something for somebody else and tells you, you know, that this is for them. Sometimes I just mean, let them know it's going to be all right. Yeah. You know, some people, that's all they need to hear. It's going to be all right. You know, this too shall pass. You know, you're not by yourself. You'll be surprised. Sometimes you're talking to people
and you don't even know. Now, this is when it's good. I was talking with one of my sisters tonight, and you know, and she was saying something, and I had to tell her, I said, you don't know, that's such a blessing to me, because she thought she was sharing something about her, and it was actually something for me. It was for me, you know? And that's the way God operates. Amen? But the main thing is, not all your prayer is for you. Not all of it is for you. Sometimes it's for somebody else. Amen? And what you do is you thank God for it and you praise God for it. A lot of times you don't have to say nothing to the other person, but it's going to be all right. You know, if they come into you, it's going to be all right. You don't have to tell them nothing. Let God tell them. Amen? He'll tell them. But continue to pray for them. Amen? All right. We almost finished these principles. I'm giving you an outline of these chapters, but I do encourage online students, I do encourage y'all to read the chapters. He does a lot on praise and worship. I can't, you know, read everything and write everything down, but it's so good. It is so good, and I do encourage y'all to read the chapters. Amen? Amen. Y'all be blessed.